you can't get better at everything all the time, every way. It's just not possible. The number one variable for all human performance is self-confidence. So simplify. If you can learn to choose the right thoughts, you learn to control the way you feel and the way you behave.
Welcome back to another episode of The Burn. I am Ben Newman, and I always talk about special episodes, but today is a very special episode, and here's why. I'm going to start with a little bit of a challenge and something to encourage you on when we are all stuck out of time that you can choose to respond to it every day. Now, I wasn't always the best at this kind of thinking, even though you know I've shared my mother's story and the power to reframe and ways that I get out of situations when they're tough. But this is a man who has helped me change how I think, change how I show up, who has been there for me during periods of time when I didn't think I could move any further, who truly taught me what leadership is all about. And for those of you that have been loyal followers to The Burn, you've already heard me tell stories about Dr. Selk. You heard me talk about Dr. Selk in the amazing interview with Ellen Reed, his partner in their practice. And what he has done is commit his life to empowering others to show up to be their best just one day at a time, to relentlessly attack what it means. And we can go into bios, but you know we don't do that here. But there's a couple of things I want to highlight. Because I'm a St. Louisan and we're in St. Louis. The sports psychologist for the world champion St. Louis Cardinals in 2006 and 2011. So bookends, and every year in between, one of the most competitive teams in baseball, bookended by two world championships, helped one of the most storied franchises in baseball resurrect itself to being great. Has written so many unbelievable books. 10-Minute Toughness is recognized as one of the greatest sports psychology books ever written. Executive Toughness, he backed it up just as good, if not better. And then, and this is all because of Dr. Ellen Reed, as I told you in the Ellen interview, Relentless Solution Focus. I always joke, I do a much better job of selling other people's books than I do my own. And I've sold a lot of copies of this already. I'm not even going to give you permission to watch this interview until you pause it right now and go on to Amazon and buy this book because it'll change your life. And Jason, you have done so much for me, and I know as humble as you are, and you always put it back on me, I want to thank you publicly, and I know it's going to make me emotional, and I've claimed that you've cried when we've been together, and you always say, no, I've never cried. But I think a lot of people, they see some of what I've done. And I've never said this publicly, and I've never said it to you, and I'm doing it on camera on purpose because you deserve it. I wouldn't be doing the things I'm doing without you. And what you've done for me in my life is incredible. And so what I'd like to do to pull it back emotionally and make it all about the listeners, I think of the tough periods of time I've been through. And I know so many people in the world right now, they feel trapped. They feel like, I can't move. When is this going to end? So that neither of us get too emotional, how do people get through this uncertainty? Because you and I have had some conversations where I was like, Jason, like, I'm uncertain. How do people get through uncertainty right now?
So first, thanks for the
overly kind introduction. And you know how much I appreciate the kind words. And I'm proud of you. You've done an exceptional job, and whether it would have been with my help or not, you would still be in the same place, my friend. So, way to go. You've done a great job, and for good reason, you work your tail off. But to get back to the question, I think you're right. This has been a tough time, and I don't, you know, again, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about what we've been through. Everybody already knows what we've been through. But I think the most important thing that I'm talking to people about right now is you get to choose. Every person listening, you, me, we all get to choose what goes on right here. And, you know, as maybe as simple as I'm making that sound, I think there are a lot of people, first and foremost, that have just never been taught this. I know when I was younger, nobody ever talked about what was going on in my head. Mm. I had to kind of figure it out myself, and I think that's what motivated me to take my career path, was to really understand how the brain worked and why it worked against us in so many cases. But the main thing is, everybody gets to choose the thoughts in our heads. And if we can learn to choose the right thoughts, which we can, we know this, that mental toughness, it's abnormal, but everyone can learn it. If you can learn to choose the right thoughts, you learn to control the way you feel and the way you behave. And if you can learn to control the way you feel and the way you behave, you learn to control for the success in life, whether that be your health, happiness, financial success, however you define it. You get to decide and you get to choose where you end up.
The choices, and we talked about this before we got rolling, it's also a choice to keep it simple. And I'm not gonna take your quote, I'm gonna have you say it, but what I love in the book, and you've been telling me for years, the importance of channel capacity. Ben, you can go give a speech, but don't have too many action items for the audience, because there's only so much the brain can handle. So tell us a little bit about your thoughts on simplicity in your choices and how that ties into that channel capacity.
Yeah, so the quote, and again, I'd love to take credit for it, but it's the great coach John Wooden. It's just this year, since the beginning of this year, this quote has been so much on my mind, in my own head, in my own practice, doing the things that I do, and with the people I work with. And the quote is, always practice simplicity with constant repetition. And again, that's the greatest coach of any sport of all time. And so you talk about channel capacity, and that's really kind of the scientific background of, I think what's happening for most people is we're taking on way too much. I mean, these phones have done so much damage to our ability to perform at potential, because they're always eating up our channel capacity. And so people out there, and you know, what we talked about before the camera started rolling is, if you could get an individual to figure out, okay, in your personal life and then in your professional life, what is that one most important activity? So professionally speaking, let's say you're a financial advisor. Make your 10 outbound proactive calls daily. In your personal life, maybe it's work out 30 minutes a day. Maybe it's spend 15 minutes a day with each member of my family with no interruption. Maybe it's, you know, controlling how much you're drinking. There's all kinds of things it could be, but most people are trying to do so many things, they're compromising their ability to do the most important things. And I'm gonna say it again, because this right here, to me, having been in coaching for 20 years and working with some of the best, the most successful people on the planet, learning from those people, this really is the little secret that people aren't talking about, but really should. That, especially these days, people are trying to do so many things. They're trying to be good at basically everything, and they're losing their ability, they're compromising the ability to do the most important things at a high level. And I'd suggest, if anything, try it. Try for a week. Don't worry about getting everything on your to-do list done. Screw the to-do list. You know, it works so much against us. Instead of trying to get everything done, just figure out and write it down. If you're listening right now, think in your personal life, what's your single most important activity? In your professional life, what's your single most important activity? I encourage you at home, don't just listen. Think, write it down. And then the challenge is, for the next week, don't worry about items 8, 9, and 10 on your to-do list. Don't even worry about items 2, 3, and 4 on your to-do list. Get item 1 done. That one most important thing in your personal life, that one most important thing in your professional life, and I'd be willing to guarantee you, you're gonna really love the results. Not just in results, what it does for you, and in just the pure results of, if you're in business, you're gonna see financial results. If in your personal life, you might see, you know, a deeper connection, or you might lose a little extra weight, or you know, you might get a little healthier in some regard. But it's gonna have such an impact on your self-confidence. See, this is, again, something people don't understand about mental toughness. And I call it the cornerstone of mental toughness is when you set your mind to something, knowing you're going to get it done. I know for me, that was, you know, I used to be normal like everybody else, trying to do so many things and screwing up on just about everything and being inconsistent yeah. with everything. And then I kind of learned the importance of, okay, I was in a position where I didn't even trust myself. I knew that in my head I'd kind of make an agreement with myself, I'm going to do this, but I knew when I said it, yeah, but if it gets tough, I'm probably not going to do it. And I didn't trust myself, and that's a horrible place to be, and that's where most people live. And so that's what I mean is go back to just the one thing. And if you can learn about yourself that you can get one thing done consistently, not perfectly, just do it consistently, I'm telling you, the impact is going to be immeasurable because your confidence is really going to start to soar. And now I'll bring some science back into it. And what we know, all sports psychology, all performance psychology knows this, the number one variable for all human performance is self-confidence. So simplify. Learn to get the most important thing. Be a master at the most important thing. Your confidence will rise and you will love the results.
So you simplify, you make the right choices, then we get hit with adversity. And I shared it with you from the book, one of the things that I loved, and it's why I dog-eared so many pages, but the mental chalkboard. For me, just the visual of somebody saying, okay, here I have an issue, I've got a problem, I'm gonna move from problem to solution. It's really a simplistic approach too, and I think sometimes we have this naturalness, I'm gonna take this issue, and you taught me expectancy theory 10 years ago, that which we focus on expands, and it really breaks down where we want to make adversity way bigger than it actually is, and taking it in that moment, so how do we move on this mental chalkboard from problem to solution in a simple way?
Well, so let me see the book for a second. You know, and for the readers at home, this book is not called Solution Focus. You must, that word, and I almost wish they would have made that word the big word. Okay, so it's, I don't want to make this sound easy. And I also don't want people to think this book or this concept of controlling your thoughts is Pollyanna. This is not about just look at the good in life and don't worry about the bad. Don't blind yourself with all the bad stuff. Only realize there's good. That's not life. That's not reality. Reality is there is going to be adversity. And that's also a big piece of mental toughness is you must learn to expect adversity. If you think everything's going to go to plan, you're naive. That's Pollyanna. That just doesn't exist. So that's one thing is you must expect the adversity. You must be ready for it. Don't be surprised when life hits you in the mouth. It's going to. But then when it does, you must learn to be relentless. Okay, so here's a question. Now, I'm not going to ask you because I know you have an answer for it, but people at home, when's the last time you were relentless about anything? Yeah, and you know, I ask the question oftentimes to people, and what most normal response is kind of a blank stare or silence. And again, there's nothing wrong with you if these questions are a little bit foreign or surprising. This is normal. Most people don't know the first thing about being relentless because we've never been taught. Okay, so it goes back to expect adversity. But if you think you can be relentless with every one of those activities you've committed to, you're crazy. You're literally crazy. Human beings, that is a total overload of channel capacity, and I know that we think that that's how other people do it. Trust me, this is the greatest thing about my job. You know, and I have a mental health license, so people, all kinds of highly successful people, for the last 20 years, they come in my office. I can remember, I'd come home from work and I'd turn on the TV and I'd look and it would be top 10 and I'd say, well, that guy was in my office earlier today. Or now it's maybe CNN, they're doing interviews. So well, I was on the phone with that guy earlier today. I don't care who you are. Everybody has their own bag of trouble. Everybody. And that's one thing I think it's really, really important to recognize is we're human. We're all troubled individuals. And again, one of the big issues with being relentless and controlling the thoughts is people are trying to control so many things, and it's just not doable. So to answer the question, and going back to the chalkboard and tying it into the relentless, you pick one thing. You pick one thing, and you learn to be relentless about the one thing. Okay, so the way in action it actually plays itself out is, okay, so I'm gonna make, let's do something everybody can relate to. 30 minutes cardiovascular exercise every day, or let's say I'm gonna do it minimum 3 days a week. And I tell you, the reason I'm bringing this up is that's the single healthiest thing any human being can do. If you're listening and you're not committing to 30 minutes cardio at least three times a week, that really, probably in your personal life, that should be your one thing. Science, it's inarguable. It's the single healthiest thing, and nothing else even comes close. Okay, so let's use that. So I'm going to commit to 30 minutes cardio 3 days a week. And, you know, maybe for the first week or two, I'm in the honeymoon phase and everything goes fine. But then I hit some adversity. Maybe I, you know, sprain my ankle. Maybe I get a cold. Maybe I got to travel. Maybe my kids have sporting events every night and I don't have time to do it after work, which is when I had it scheduled. There's all kinds of excuses and all kinds of reasons. See, if I can just zero in on being relentless on the one activity and know in advance, hey, when things are all going to plan, that's great, enjoy it, but it's not going to last. And I expect that when somebody throws me a curveball, I'm going to get a different bat, I'm going to get a bigger bat, I'm going to get three bats, I'm going to do whatever I have to do. But I'm going to make sure that no matter what, I'm relentless about getting that one activity done. You see, it starts by building with one. And I know I wrote my book and you gave executive toughness, which before this one, executive toughness was always my personal favorite. It was really the coaching plan that I came up with to fix my own head. And then I realized, wow, this could probably help some other people. But I made a terrible mistake in executive toughness. I talked about doing way too much. You know, I was going to write a book called Capacity 9, which was, you know, three different product goals, three process goals for each. It's too much. Instead of starting with all these process goals, which I instructed people to do in executive toughness, start with one. Start with the exercise, or start with the 10 calls, or start with the 15 minutes personal time with each family member, whatever you choose, but start with one. And then no matter what, when the adversity hits, I want you to be relentless. I want you to choose to realize that there's always a solution, always. There's always a way to find out how to get that one thing done. And you don't need to be perfect. And this is the one thing I said is, with those most important activities, if you can go 90% or better consistently for extended periods of time, you'll win. You will win. In our lives, it'll be the equivalent of winning a World Series every single year. You know, in the pro athlete world, it's a lot harder. They can do their process goals 90% and still get their brains beat in. They can do 100% on process in that world and still get their brains beat in. But in the personal world, like us, like, you know, corporate America and our personal lives, 90% will do it. If you can go 90% on your one most important activity, that's relentless. Be prepared. It's going to take a lot of work. There's going to be adversity, but don't give yourself excuses. And when your one solution fails, you go back to the chalkboard and you keep putting the solution up until you start making progress. That's it.
So one of the things that Coach Kleiman, when I first met him at North Dakota State and now having the blessing of being with him at Kansas State, he always says, find your edge in the details. And when I think about you, I think it's one of the things that you taught me was sometimes you got to slow down and you really have to evaluate and you got to find your edge in the details. Did you find that was the same with Coach Wooden? And I want to frame this correctly because so many people hear, one of my favorite quotes that you always say is, John Wooden wrote more best-selling books than than 99% of best-selling authors.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the man was so brilliant beyond being a basketball coach. But you had the opportunity, and we're filming this in the middle of March Madness, right? You had the opportunity to watch March Madness with John Wooden in his house. Mm-hmm. So what would John Wooden tell us about the importance of details, or what's your favorite thing that you learned from Coach?
Oh, come on. I mean, he was such an impact on my life. He still is. You know, I still study his books and search for things. Like I said, right now, this whole idea of practice simplicity with constant repetition, it just totally has my attention. If there was anything to compete with that, it would probably be his quote, it's what you learn after you know it all that counts. And you know, a lot of people have said it in different ways. I think Patton said, was it Patton? I think it was Patton. He said, most people live until their 30s or 40s. No, most people live to be 30s or 40s, only to be buried 30 or 40 years later, which I'm screwing the words up on it. But the idea is, and I heard Lou Holtz say it this way, he said, human beings are like trees. The second we stop growing, we start dying. Okay, now I'm going to preface it because I think what has happened is this concept. You've had a lot of great leaders talk about this concept of constant improvement. And I think people have totally screwed it up. I really do. And it goes back to channel capacity. You can't get better at everything all the time, every way. It's just not possible. Listen, if you can just keep your mind open, if you could once a week get better at one thing, that to me is the details of living all the way up until the last breath you take. And I know the people that I have the most respect for are those who have done that, you know, and you, how old are you now, Ben?
42.
Jeez Louise, okay. So I'm a bit older than you, not by much. I'm 43, no, I'm kidding. So I'm 50, and you know, I think, you know, my father passed away this last Christmas, and you know, turning 50 a couple months before he passed away, it really has had an impact on thinking about how am I going to live the rest of my life. And you know, when you ask about the impact of Coach Wooden and the details, I think that's right now such a big piece of where my head is I want to make sure that I continue to get better. That, and not every day. I'm not going to put this perfectionist pressure on myself that I've got to get better at everything, every day, all the time. I can't live up to that. I don't know that anybody can. I just want to stay in the game, stay in the fight, and every week find one thing just to get just slightly better at. And if I can do that, I know, at least my view is, that I'm probably going to make people like Coach Wooden and my father and even people younger than me, I think I can be a role model for that, because I think it's a really important piece of the puzzle that, again, going back to the channel capacity, I think people are so overwhelmed right now. Most people are just, you know, struggling just to keep their head above the water. And you can't find the energy to improve when you're just trying to survive. And that's where I'd go back to what you said about slow down. Stop trying to do everything all the way, all the time, the best possible way it can be done. Just find what's most important and be relentless about what's most important. And I mean it. One activity in your professional life, one activity in your personal life, that's enough. If you can be relentless and try to get better at that one activity for your lifespan, look out. Life's going to be good.
Here's how I want to tie this up. And I'm going to finish this with a few thoughts that I have. I've shared in the past, and a lot of times people expect or they think that this is not an inspirational statement. I love saying you have to surround yourself with people in your life that you're never going to catch. And I'm not even going to let him rebuttal because he may try to come up with some kind of an argument for me. But I look at the influence that you've had on my life and John Gordon. And, you know, it's funny how things happen in life. I remember at the time I was still a financial advisor building this business, doing lots of coaching and speaking. I had written books, but still an advisor. And I had had a gentleman named Justin contact you to book the appointment. And I remember we're sitting in your office for the first time and you're like, let me be straight with you. I don't know why the hell I let you in my office, because if somebody doesn't call me personally, I don't take the appointment. But for some reason I did. And you and I bonded that day. And you continue to just sitting here talking with you, and we never get to spend as much time as we would like to, right? And that's so, but the moment, man, I hug you when I walk through the door, it's like we never skipped a beat. And hearing you talk and the books and seeing the influence in Ellen and everything that you do, like you continue to just keep it so far out there for me to stay relentless in my life. And John Gordon and you have done that for me, and it's one of the greatest blessings. And so what I really want everybody to do, and I'm going to encourage you, and a lot of times I don't say, go, you know, go do this. Go find somebody that's going to push you to give yourself permission to become relentless in your life. You know, go find those people. Like, when I hear you talk about John Wooden, you go to a different place. It's almost like channel capacity is hard for you because you learned so much. You took so much in. You've studied his book. There was so much that still pushes you. God bless his soul. And so I think for all of us, like, we have to stay uncomfortable, stay relentless, but push ourselves to find those examples of people that you'll never catch. And I know you try to debate me on it. I hope I never catch you. I never want to catch you. I want to continue. And I also think, sitting here, you going to see Wooden, there are going to be so many people beating down your door. That's what, because I talk about legacy all the time, and I like making you uncomfortable with how I can get you going sometimes, the thing. Like, I can't wait to hear the stories of people who, they're coming to watch something with you. They're coming to sit by your fire. They're going to come see you. And to me, like, that's you going all the way to the end, because you're going to be sharing something with somebody in a different fireplace, maybe somewhere else, 30 years from now. That's something that you learned like a week before or 2 days before. And that's what inspires me about you, is that it's this relentless attack for that improvement. And you mean the world to me. And I wish we spent more time together, but we're both pursuing trying to help everybody, you know, get better. But I just can't tell you how much I appreciate you. If there's any final thoughts, I wanted to tie it up that way for me and for everybody before I let Jason finish, because I feel that's appropriate for this episode. One more action step. You got to go buy this book. You have got to buy Relentless Solution Focus. If you don't like the book, which is not going to be possible, I will give you your money back. This book will change your life. You have got to go buy this book right now, like immediately. And then the second thing that I would tell you is, I want you to write down the name of that person that can challenge you and go and build that relationship so that you can be challenged. And one of the ways that we really connected in your office that day was through what I've been sharing for 15 years, which is a prize fighter day. And you're almost like, did you study my work? And because this, and I think that's one of the reasons why we hit it off. That's my right. Personal, professional, you know, of service. And you were like, well, wait a second, that's kind of what I do. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can stay in my office. Mm-hmm. And so that's some of the synergy that I've loved. But for everybody, you know, we always put it right in the notes. You can get an opportunity to build your own prize fighter day in the link below. Pick up the book, find the person who's going to challenge you. Build your day. Break it down. I don't care what you call the day. You know that about me. Call it a prize fight. Call it whatever you want to call it. But take the action, the simple action. I appreciate you. I've been wanting to get you on the burn for so long. Yeah. And we've had different obstacles. It always happens right when it's supposed to. But you mean the world to me, and I'd love for you to finish this for us.
Well, first, thanks again for the kind words. You always say the nicest things. I think, you know, at 50 years old, and I've been working with people now for a long, long time, and I've seen the best of the best, and I've seen not the best of the best, and everything in between. And I guess I would just, you know, the one thing I've learned is just give yourself permission to be human. Remember this, everybody, we all have our own bag of trouble. And I don't know that you necessarily need to tell everybody about the trouble you have, but give yourself permission to have the trouble. And if there was one action step I'd get you started on, this would be, you know, and this is, I've done this with my children, and my children now are, I told you, my first one's getting ready to go to college, and my second one's a year away, and my third one's a freshman, and you know, they all have their own troubles as well. But I know that my children have an advantage over their peers because of some of the things that we've talked about here. And, you know, I hammer this stuff on them. But the main thing that I think I would encourage every person, and if you're a parent, if you're a coach, do this with your kids, with the people you're coaching, teach them to recognize what they're doing well. It's a simple little exercise. On a daily basis, what's totally normal is you'll do 100 things right, one thing less than perfect, and the normal mind goes to the imperfection. And you know, expectancy theory, whatever you focus on, you'll expand. It'll knock your self-confidence in the dirt. So heck with that. Retrain your brain so that you don't start with what you're screwing up on. Train your brain that you start always with three things you've done well. So just, you know, again, as simple as it sounds, and this is where I start with anybody, whether you're NFL, PGA, Major League Baseball, professional coach, I'd tell you, just learn, take 30 to 60 seconds a day, get a notebook, and every day try to write down three things you've done well. You don't have to cure cancer for it to qualify as a done well. Search for the small. Any improvement whatsoever, anything that promotes personal or professional health, that's a done well. Write them down on paper. If you could get yourself in the habit of doing that three times a week, what you're gonna do is you're gonna start to retrain your brain, your confidence is gonna start to improve, and you'll see results soar from there. Thanks for having me. You're always the best. Keep doing what you're doing, man. You're making a major impact.